Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's focus for Tuesday, April the 30th, 2024. Now, today's focus is very simple. You have probably already heard everyone offer their opinion and their thoughts about the situation, but today's focus, I want you to focus on what is happening on college campuses across the United States of America as college kids and some people who are not college kids are coming up onto college campuses to protest what is happening in Gaza, what is happening in Palestine, as these college kids, and again, many who are not college kids are simply coming onto the college campus, I think in many cases, to kind of just generate, you know, anger and frustration and really kind of maybe even manipulate the situation. There are these college kids that are very upset about what is happening in Gaza, what is happening over in the Middle East, and they are calling, and I think it would be accurate to refer to many of these protests as very pro-Palestine. They are very much, and you know, they want a free Palestine. They want Israel to stop the military, you know, maneuvers and the military missions into Gaza. They want it to stop. They believe it's wrong. They believe it's horrible. They believe it's genocide. They want it to stop. And they're very frustrated, and they want something to happen. And for the most part, it seems what they want to happen is they want their colleges to stop. Well, if their colleges are involved in anything that would send money to Israel, they want that to stop. I don't know exactly how that is supposedly going to stop the Israeli military from, like, you know what? We're not going to launch any more missions, any more military maneuvers inside Gaza. We're going to stop it because these college kids are wanting their colleges to stop, you know, having any money that comes here. I have a hard time understanding that, but that is what I want you to focus on. Now, as usual, what I tend to do here is I want to focus on this situation a little differently than, well, how everyone else is focusing on it, all right? Everyone has their opinions, and they can approach it. They'll approach it from a geopolitical standpoint. They may approach it from a military standpoint. They may approach it from a pro-Israel or pro-Palestine perspective. I want to avoid all of that. I'm going to focus on this in a perspective that hopefully will get us to look at ourselves and ask ourselves maybe what we are doing in certain situations. But let's start with just some basic background here. Let's at least give you some basic background about what is going on. The recent college protests in support of Palestine have sparked a wave of activism and engagement on campuses across the country. Here is an overview of some of the key aspects and implications of these protests. The background. The pro-Palestine college protests have been fueled by the ongoing Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which has escalated in recent months due to tensions surrounding issues such as the evictions in East Jerusalem, violence in Gaza, and the broader context of occupation and human right abuses. Now, I want to stop right here. All right. Now, and I'm just going through different news sources, gathering information and reporting. I just think one of the things that kind of frustrates me about this situation is this. They said the pro-Palestinian college protests have been fueled by the ongoing Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Well, I would like to just raise this question. Okay. When over 1,000 Israelis were killed because of Hamas, where were the pro-Israel protests? Where were like, hey, free Israel, stop Hamas from attacking Israel. It is horrible that these 1,000 Israelis have been murdered. Why didn't that spark the protest? I think that's a reasonable question. But again, as that is described, the pro-Palestine college protests have been fueled by the ongoing Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which has escalated in recent months due to tensions surrounding issues such as the evictions in East Jerusalem, violence in Gaza, and the broader context of occupation and human right abuses. Again, nothing there is mentioned about what happened to Israel on October the 7th, when over 1,000 Israelis were killed and many were taken captive and are still being held hostage by Hamas. That, I don't know how you can discuss this situation and not at least start there, but okay. Now, you could go back further in history about the ongoing issues between Israel and Palestine. I understand that. And between, yeah, we could get into a whole discussion there. Student mobilization. Students on college campuses have been at the forefront of organizing protests rallies, educational events, and campaigns to raise awareness about the plight of Palestinians and advocate for justice, equality, and the end of the occupation. Solidarity movements. The pro-Palestine protests have not only garnered support from Palestinian and Arab student groups, but have also seen a significant level of solidarity from diverse student organizations, including human rights groups, social justice advocates, and progressive student unions. Controversy and opposition. The protests has faced pushback from pro-Israel groups, conservative voices, and some university administrations, leading to debate over free speech, academic freedom, and the boundaries of political activism on campus. Impact and outcome. The pro-Palestine college protests have succeeded in drawing attention to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, generating discussions about the U.S. foreign policy, and highlighting the need for dialogue, understanding, and empathy in addressing complex international issues. I don't know if they've accomplished that, but okay. All right. We'll talk about that as we move forward here. Challenges and opportunities. While the protests have energized a new generation of activists and raised awareness about Palestine, they've also underscored the complexities of the conflict, the diversity of perspectives within the pro-Palestine movement, and the need for sustained advocacy efforts to bring about meaningful change. All right. So, of course, this is being framed as, hey, there's some good things coming from those protests. They're bringing awareness. They're bringing understanding. They're bringing empathy. Okay. All right. Now we could debate that, but all right. So some people are framing these protests as a positive thing, as a good thing. Others may say, in many cases, they seem to be ignoring at least how the current situation has developed and exploded. Now, by all means, criticism could be leveled at Israel, and maybe their response has been, you know, their military response went too far. That you could have that debate, but you have to at least start with what happened on October 7th. If you don't, I don't know where you're going. And at some point, when do the protest not actually be helping your cause? I think that's a good question as well. Just some more information. Columbia University has been at the center of debate over the Israeli-Hamas conflict recently. Protest and divestment. Over 100 students at Columbia were arrested and refusing to leave a pro-Palestinian protest encampment set up on the university's main campus. The protesters are calling for the university. Now, this is very important here. The protesters are calling for the university to divest from companies with ties to Israel. The group called Columbia University Apartheid Divest wants financial divestment from companies and institutions that profit from Israeli apartheid, genocide, and occupation in Palestine. Now, I've tried my best to figure out exactly how much money is going from Columbia University to companies with ties to Israel. So the students are all upset. Okay, we want. I guess they want to stop the situation happening in Gaza. They want a free Palestine. Okay, I understand. So their way is we're going to occupy part of the university. We're gonna chant. We're gonna do all of these things, disrupt everything, defy university rules, and we're gonna do this. So that the university will then divest any financial, again, I want to read that specifically, from companies with ties to Israel. Now, I have yet to be able to find out exactly how much money goes to companies with ties to Israel. Second, I haven't been able to completely figure out how much money then goes from these companies straight into Israel. And even if you were to remove that money, I don't know exactly how that's going to, all of a sudden the government of Israel is going to be like, oh, wait, we lost some money from these companies because these companies are doing things in Israel, but they lost some money from Columbia University. So now these companies are making less money. And so they're going to pull out maybe their business in Israel. I don't know exactly what they're hoping to accomplish, but I don't think the Israeli government's going to be like, well, you know what? Let's stop worrying about terrorist organizations who launch a terrorist attack and kill over 1,000 of our citizens while some of our citizens are still being held hostage. You know what? We're just going to stop because these college kids in America are very, 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 very upset. That just seems like, I understand what you're trying to do, but what, I don't understand what the ultimate, like, how is that going to change anything? Funding and donors, not, but look what is happening, all right? Some prominent donors have taken action in response to the protest. Billionaires have donated nearly $100 million to Columbia, which has funded multiple buildings on campus, scholarships for engineers and Center for Jewish Students. However, there are now calls from GOP lawmakers to withhold funding in protest of the university's handling of anti-Israel demonstrations. Additionally, there have been demands to revoke federal funding for Columbia due to alleged Civil Rights Act violations. All right, so guess what? You may want the university to stop giving money to these companies that have ties to Israel, but then other people could come and stop giving money to the university or withholding money to the university. And so where do you end up? Hey, we stopped money going here, and now your university doesn't have money there. And that money coming to the university, if you're a student there, you're benefiting in some way, shape, or form from it, because either you're walking into the buildings that are being funded by, or you're there on federal grants or scholarships. Like, I don't know then how this balances out. Columbia's president testified in Washington about her handling of anti-Semitism on campus. The university's bonds as a community have been severely tested, and efforts to reaffirm them will take time and effort. In summary, the situation at Columbia University is complex, involving protests, divestment calls, donor actions, and presidential testimony. The university's response will likely have broader implications for higher education nationwide. So in a sense, Columbia has become the epicenter for this entire situation, and everyone's looking to them. And the situation, well, it continues to develop. Here's the latest about what's going on currently on the campus. This is from this morning from a podcast called The Seven.
The occupation has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. The occupation has got to go. Hey, hey.
Student protesters at Columbia have taken over a university building. That's where we're starting The Seven from The Washington Post. I'm Hannah Jewell. It's Tuesday, April 30th. Let's get you caught up with today's seven stories. Early this morning, student protesters announced they were occupying Hamilton Hall. That's a building at Columbia University in New York City. It's not far from the campus's South Lawn, where protesters set up a weeks-long encampment protesting the Israel-Gaza war. A statement posted by student groups to Instagram said the protesters wouldn't leave Hamilton Hall until their university cut financial ties with Israel. The building takeover began just hours after the university started suspending students who refused to leave the encampment. Mahmoud Khalil is a Columbia student and the lead negotiator for the group Columbia University Apartheid Divest. He spoke about their protest to the press yesterday.
This encampment is a minor inconvenience compared to the generational shaping events taking place now in Gaza. This is not a matter of simply violating university rules. This is a movement, an anti-war movement.
And there's the latest that's happening on Columbia University. Now, again, for today's focus, I want you to think about this, but I want you to think about this in a completely different way. I try to give you all the information, all the history. I try to give you everything I could as quickly as I could. I know I read through a lot of that quickly, but it gives you the basic information. And again, some are very much framing it in a positive way that, hey, good things are coming from this protest. Others are going, well, wait a minute, this is going to have, well, unintended consequences financially, and government could step in, and well, this could be difficult. Who knows what's going to happen to the president of Columbia University? They have people calling for their jobs from both the pro-Palestinian side and the pro-Israeli side. So the whole situation is just, and students are being suspended, graduation ceremonies are being, and some college campuses are being canceled. So, I mean, the whole situation is only building. And this has the potential, especially if Israel launches another military strike into some different areas, if that continues, and there's some likelihood that there's, you know, something else coming on that front. If that happens, this could be a summer of protest, especially as we move closer and closer to the election. And then you have the Democratic and the Republican conventions. Oh, this could turn into a summer of protest. So this is not something that's just going to be, you know, talked about once and everyone's going to forget it. This has a potential of being spoken of the entire summer going into the election. So as a result, people are going to be talking about this. Yesterday, every news podcast, it was about the college protest. Every news report about the college protest. I mean, and that's what everyone is talking about. So I thought, okay, for today's focus, I'll just kind of get everyone caught up, kind of have a basic idea of what's going on. But how should we look at this? Well, we have college kids. Let's just say, I know that there's lots of reports about people who are not college kids or coming onto the campus who are kind of very much driving some of this, but we could get into that, whether that's true, not true, we could get into that. But let's just go with college kids. All right, here's college kids. Living in the United States of America, very far from the situation in Israel and in Gaza and in Palestine. They are very far removed from it. Now, some may have family, some may have some kind of family connections, but a large number of them have no, some of them may have never even been to Israel, been to Gaza. They've never been Palestinian territory, Israeli. They've never been anywhere near it. And they see what's happening and they're very bothered and they're very upset by it. Okay. Gotcha. You're very bothered. You're very upset. Now, every single person in life, we find ourselves facing situations that we may not like, that bother us, that greatly upset us, that frustrate us, that make us extremely angry. We all face those situations in life, every single one. And sometimes it's something that's out of our control. We have very little control on it. We may want to get involved in the situation. We may want to try to fix it. We may want to try to make it better. So in many cases, you could say maybe the motivations are correct. Maybe the motivations are right. They want a free Palestine. They want the military movements and missions happening. They want them to stop. They want them to stop in Gaza. They want Israel to pull back. Hopefully they want the hostages Hamas is holding. They want them to be released. Hopefully. In some of these cases, they don't seem to be mentioning those hostages, but okay. Some of them may want, you know, Palestinian prisoners that are being held in Israel to be released. Whatever the case may be, they're bothered, they're upset, and they want to accomplish something. And I can understand that motivation. But the question is, is this approach the right approach? Is this approach an exercise in futility? Is this approach one that's not going to bring sympathy or support for your cause, but it may actually drive more and more people away from your cause? These are questions that should be asked, because what I want us to do for our today's focus is I want us to look at what's happening on college campuses and ask ourselves. You may say, this is foolish, this is ridiculous, and I know some people have strong opinion. They just need to go in, arrest all these kids, you know, get over it, tear down the encampments, throw them off campus and expel them and just be done with it. I understand everyone's got strong opinion. But I want us to think about how you and I make decisions and what we do and do. And do we, in many cases, are we involved in things that are just as foolish or just as futile? So I want us to look at ourselves. It's easy to look to the college kids and just have strong opinions about it, right? I understand that. It's always easy to point the finger and judge and critique. It's difficult sometimes to take what we're seeing and suddenly looking at it through a window, we look at it as a mirror, so we look back at ourselves. And what ways do we make foolish, bad decisions? And what ways do we sometimes make a decision that's actually detrimental, that's actually hurtful, that's actually, and you know, some people, and again, I've said this now a number of times, why are these kids not mentioning the suffering of the Israelis? Why did they not mention what happened? The terrorist attack. Why are they not mentioning the hostages being held, you know, in Gaza or wherever the hostages have been moved to by Hamas? Why are they not condemning Hamas as an organization? Right? Because it seems like they're only focused on one side. Well, how many times do we only focus on one side? See, it's always easy to look and condemn. It's hard to look and go, how do I see me in these situations? So what I challenge you to do is for your focus today is I want you to consider the college protest. I want you to think about it. Listen to news articles, read news articles about it. Just kind of keep up with it today about what's happening. And as you do in every situation, ask how it could relate to you. For example, let's just go through some. I'll just mention a couple here, right? I don't have anything written down, but just to kind of throw out some ideas. These college kids seem to only be focused on one side of the situation. And the situation is much more complex, much more layered, much more nuanced than they're seemingly to put forth based on what you're hearing some of the college kids say. They're college kids, but in many cases, they still seem to only be seeing one side of the situation. So in your life, how many times do you get involved in a situation where you're frustrated, and you only see your side? You can't even see the other side. You don't even see the other perspective. And you've got your chance. You've got your yelling, your screaming, your emotions, and maybe your motives are right, but for some reason, all you can see is your perspective. You cannot break through and see, wait a minute. Because, if I'm all for, Palestine has been treated horribly by Israel and the occupation needs to stop. And okay. But at the same time, can you not see that Israel suffered a horrible terrorist attack at the hands of Hamas? Can you not see that they may be concerned about the security of their area and they want to eradicate Hamas from the face of the earth? Do you support what Hamas is doing? Many of these college kids probably have a lifestyle that in many of these very Islamic countries would not be tolerated for 5.2 seconds. So if you're so upset about the evils of Israel, how about the evils of Islamic countries who women, are treated as basically less than? Where in some Islamic countries, homosexuals would be killed. Wouldn't these college kids be upset about that? But sometimes you can become so preoccupied or so focused on one specific thing that you can't see anything else. And we're all guilty of that. Look, I could point out the foolishness and the hypocrisy or the just absolutely ignoring of reality by some of these college kids, but I have to look to myself. Can I see beyond what's in front of my face? Can I see beyond? So for today's focus, I want you to consider the college kids, but I want you to consider yourself and I want you to ask yourself, how good are you at seeing more than just what is right in front of you? What you see beyond just your feelings, just your emotions. You can see other people's feelings, other people's emotions, other people's situation. You can see it. You can have empathy for someone else. You can see beyond yourself. You can see beyond your own self-interest. It's hard sometimes to see beyond our own self-interest. We know what we want. We know what we desire. In many cases, we don't care about anybody else other than ourselves. I think that that's a fair thing to consider when we're looking at these college protests. The college kids seem to be they can't see anything out there. They seem to be very one dimensional when this is seven dimensions. They can only see one layer when this is 15 layers. They can't see nuance. They can't see anything else. Now this can happen all over the place. This can happen from college kids to adults talking about things in politics or anything else. It's always difficult to see things in their broader context. I think that is important. I think another thing when I look at these college kids, and I've listened to so much of this, I've listened to hours of reporting on this. I think this is another thing that I want to look to them to look to ourselves. I wonder how many times our so-called good intentions, our so-called good motives is more is really more about exalting ourselves. Like, we disguise our own narcissism as doing good things. Like, these kids are there. Look at me. I'm fighting for the cause. I want to help the Palestinians. I want to free Palestine. I want to help the suffering in Gaza. Look at me. Now, subscribe. Look at me. Look at me. I'm on TikTok. Look at me. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Oh, subscribe to my podcast. Oh, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Make sure you check out my Instagram where you can see all the pictures from the protest. Look at me. 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 Is it really about Gaza? Is it about the Palestinians, or it's about you, your cell phone, and your social media account? Now, look, I cannot judge them. All right. I'm saying, how many times, remember, I'm trying to make this about us. Some of those kids, is it possible? So let me state it. Is it possible that their so-called good motives is simply really disguising their own narcissism, their own self-interest, their own self-agenda, but they're covering it up, disguising it as if they care about what's going on across the world, on the other part of the world? Now, we can do the same thing. We can pretend that we are being so godly, we're being so spiritual, when in reality, it's all about us. I wonder how many times as Christians we do things and we say it's about God, but it's really about for people to see us, people to hear us. It's about us, us, us. So we can take, look, they can take their concern for Palestine when really that is simply a It's simply a disguise for them getting self-promotion and benefiting themselves, right? Now, I'm not saying that is happening. I'm saying, is it possible? I think it's probably very possible and very probable because I know that all of us are guilty of that, right? We can all say, oh, we're so concerned about this and we're and so much of our supposedly compassion and empathy and good deeds and love for other people and concern and wanting to pray for people. Sometimes it's all about us, 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 us. And that's hard. It's hard to see that distinction. It's hard because you can convince yourself, No, I actually care. But really, it's really about yourself. I don't know sometimes how to draw that distinction in myself. Now, sometimes you have to get away from the protest encampment. You got to get away from the cameras. You got to put your phone down. You got to get away from the chants, and you got to go sit by yourself and go, what am I really doing here? Sometimes as a Christian, I got to go, do I really care about God? Do I really care about others? Or do I just care about myself? Am I doing this to feel good about myself? Am I doing this to make me feel good, to give me a sense of purpose and meaning? Is it about me, 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 me? But it's all disguised. It's being about God's glory and other people. But when in reality, it's about my own narcissistic need for self-exaltation. That's not a college kid problem. That's a Christian adult problem. That's not a Christian teenage problem. That's a Christian parent problem. We are the God that we really worship more than we ever want to admit. All right. So there's two things to consider. How about a third one? Is it possible that we can make a decision? Let's put it back to the college kids, the college protest. Is it possible that they see a situation that they don't like? What's happening to many of the civilians in Gaza is absolutely horrifying and absolutely horrible. The death, the destruction, it is horrible. There's no way to get around that. Like, you can't just be so pro-Israel that you can't see that as well. Again, we got to have the ability to see all the sides. But is it possible that your attempt to try to fix it is really one of utter futility, and it's vanity, vanity, vanity. It's meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. It's a lot of sound and fury without any real significance. So many times we can attempt to do something thinking that we're really accomplishing something when in reality we're not doing anything. So I wonder how foolish this entire thing is when you really break it down. Now, again, you can talk about the college camp, the college protest, but I want to talk about ourselves. How many times do we get, we're going to do this and we're going to do this and we're going to do this, but in reality, we're not accomplishing anything. We're just being foolish. We're not really thinking it through. We're not being logical. Like, hey, college campuses, we want you to divest any money you're giving to companies that have ties to Israel. Now, it would be interesting to know how many, again, see, we could ask some questions. I wonder how many products and things those college kids own from companies that have ties to Israel. I wonder. Or are they going to stop and consider that? All right, instead of worrying about what the university, worry about where you're spending your money. Worrying about what you're doing. So stop worrying about the college university telling them what to do with their money. How about what are you doing with yours? I think that's very reasonable to ask. So many times we can be involved in an activity and we're really like, it's, or we can be involved in whatever we're attempting to do. And it's just foolish. It's just like, what are we really accomplishing? Sitting, taking over a part of a university in the United States of America, screaming free Palestine, you know, okay. Is that going to fix a situation going on in the Middle East that's been going on for thousands of years? All of a sudden, they're going to be like, whoa, college kids in America are upset about what we're doing here. Hey, guys, we need to have a meeting. There's some very upset college kids, and we need to stop fighting one another. I know we've been fighting each other for thousands of years, and I know we can't agree on whose land this belongs to. And I know there's major religious connections to all of this. And I understand that there's, you know, cultural issues, theological issues, the geopolitical issues. But hey, college kids in America are upset. We have to stop fighting one another. I'm not saying that to be sarcastic to the college kids. I'm saying that to be sarcastic to us. How many times are we doing things and we don't stop to go, wait, this is foolish. What are we attempting to do? What are we really accomplishing in this? Sometimes we have to look to ourselves. See, I want you to, while everyone's running around screaming on social media, go Israel, go Palestine, go, you know, go Hamas, whoever they're yelling for. Stop and go, wait a minute. Let's consider this situation and ask ourselves some important questions. Now, I have my Bible open to Proverbs chapter 14. I'm just going to read some random verses. I'm just going to go through this chapter. There's 35 verses. I'm just going to go through some of these random ones, and you can see how maybe it could be applicable. Not, again, not to just the college campus situation, but to your life. When you're facing situations, you're facing difficulties, thinking about it carefully. All right? It starts in Proverbs 14, verse 1, this way. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Now, we can just use this as a general idea that someone who's wise, they build something up. They're going to make it better. The foolish, they tear it down. They make it worse. Now, I don't think the college campuses, or the college protests are going to make the situation in Gaza and Israel worse, but they may make it worse for their universities. They may just tear down their, they may simply hurt. When it's all said and done, the thing that may be hurt are future students who can't get maybe either federal grants or scholarships, or the university has to cut certain programs because all you've done is hurt your university. You haven't helped anybody. You may have helped your social media presence, but you definitely didn't fix the situation in Gaza. Even if your college takes away funding to companies that have connections to Israel, that's not going to stop the situation in the Middle East. I'm sorry to tell college kids that this has been going on for 1,000 years. It's not going to fix it. Now, again, we have to look at our own selves. And when you're in a situation, are you like the woman who builds up your house? Or you're the one who foolishly tears it down, brick by brick, piece by piece. We always want to make sure that what we're doing, our decisions, that it's building up, it's not tearing down. Here's one, verse 3. In the mouth of the fool, the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. How many times, and as fools, our mouth is simply a rod of pride, that really it's about us, that our mouth is simply a rod of pride that hurts other people. Where it, the, but he that, let me find it. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The lips of the wise should bring something positive. If you're a fool, your words are simply a rod of pride that hurts, that tears down, that destroys. But if you're wise, then your lips will preserve. It will make things better. How many times when I face a situation, do my words simply become a rod of pride that hurts and not the words of wisdom that preserves and makes things better? Well, there's a lot of words being yelled and chanted on college campuses. I don't know if anything is good coming from it. Verse 5, this is Proverbs 14:5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. The one thing in whatever situation we face ourselves, these college kids, they need to ensure that they're speaking truth, not bearing false witness, not saying things that are not accurate. Well, guess what? When we face situations, we got to make sure that what we say is accurate, that it's an accurate representation. And that can be difficult because when emotions get involved, facts go away. The one thing, emotions are the death of facts. I think that's very applicable. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. If you're a scorner, if you just approach a situation from a maybe being, you're scorning it, you're mocking it, you won't ever get knowledge. Now, this can be true for people who are on the left or on the right, and it can be true of Christians. You can kind of approach something from a scorner, as a scorner, and you are never going to find wisdom. You're not going to find it. But knowledge is easy unto him that understanding. Instead of being a scorner, instead of approaching it from an emotional or an ideological perspective, we should be those who set aside our emotions and set aside our ideologies so that we can simply find truth, that we can find understanding, that we can find wisdom. Go from the presence of a foolish man whom thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Now, guess what? At some point, sometimes in our own lives, forget the college kids, people should probably just walk away from us because you know what? We're foolish. And there's no knowledge or understanding or truth in us because we're so upset at that moment in time. We're so confused that we're not approaching something as a wise person. And so we should go from the presence of the foolish. Well, in many of these college campuses, what you're hearing is just utter foolishness. So people should walk away. So that's verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceiveth not in him the lips of knowledge. Verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. That's what I want you to do. Let's understand our way in light of the college protest. Let's not try to understand their way. Let's look at them and see ourselves. We need to understand our way. But the folly of the fool is deceit. The foolish person, that's the problem, is they can't see their way. They deceive themselves. Let's not deceive ourselves. Let's go to verse 12. All right. Let's go to verse 12, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Look, so many times in our own lives, we think that what we're doing is the right way. We think it's the correct way. But the end of it is death. The end of it is destruction. We've got to be able to tell when our way is not the right way. And sometimes it can be difficult. Well, the college campus, you may think you're doing it the right way, but it may end up being death. Now, we can take that in a very literal way, like literal death. But I think in this particular case, we can just see death as a very destructive thing. These college kids may just end up being, it may be detrimental and destructive to the very college campuses they're on. I know this, it's not going to stop the situation in the Middle East. I know you're not going to fix it, no matter if you protest all summer. Now, maybe if all the college kids packed up, went over to Israel and started doing protests in Israel, or maybe if you want to go and actually offer, you know, some kind of physical support to the people in Gaza suffering, how about instead of yelling and screaming on college campuses, raising money to try to find, to support, aid agencies trying to bring aid into Gaza? Like, you could probably do something better than that. But hey, but so many times we don't perceive that our way just as simply is destruction, and it's not actually bringing anything good into the situation. Verse 15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Don't just believe everything. Look carefully at what you're doing. Look carefully at the situation. Look for facts. Think about it. Be wise. A true witness, this is verse 25, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. We want to be a true witness in our situations, and of course, obviously, this would apply on the college campuses. Look at verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is of a hasty spirit exalteth folly. Be slow to anger. Slow to anger. Why? Because again, the enemy of wisdom, the enemy of knowledge, the enemy of fact is emotions. Emotions destroys facts. Emotions destroys reality because it blinds you to it. So this is verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. If you are hasty, if you simply react out of emotion, it's typically folly. So in this situation, it should be slow to wrath, to think it through. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, this is not just about these college kids, it's about us. And make it very clear, some of these same things are very applicable, not just to college kids on a college campus. It could be, I don't know, it could be very applicable to adults who are supporters of Donald Trump storming the Capitol building. The same, it's very similar. They didn't stop the election. Okay, they didn't accomplish anything except many hundreds and hundreds of them have gone to jail. It didn't bring the country closer together. It didn't bring unity. It didn't make the country better. It brought more division, more fighting, more yelling, more screaming. It blinded everyone to everything. No wisdom, no truth, no making anything better. It was the exercise in futility. Same situation. Verse 33 of Proverbs 14. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. But please note, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. We have to learn understanding. We have to see things from different perspectives. We have to think. We have to be rational. We have to be logical. We have to use the mind God gave us and not allow that mind to be simply hijacked by one ideological perspective, but to be able to think and to see. Now, there's much more there we could look at, but that's Proverbs 14. You may want to look at that and consider some of that today. You may want to go through Proverbs and just consider a lot of it. But again, I want you, everyone's going to, So many people, I'm going to get emails and I'm going to get comments about, oh, you Zionists, are you pro-Palestinian? No, you're missing the point here. I'm taking this situation and I'm saying, hey, what can we think about it? What can we see from it? What can we learn from it? Now, we may not face the, obviously our situations are always different, but every single day you face situations and you make decisions and sometimes we don't exercise wisdom. We exercise folly. We exercise emotion. We don't think things through. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. Let's use today the college protest to see our own lives and to see into our own hearts and to see into our own motives and to see sometimes what we're doing. I want today's focus to take what the world is talking about it, but for us to focus on it in a different way. To focus on it in a different way. It's easy to see everything as a window that you walk up to, you look out and go, foolish, dumb, ridiculous, embarrassing. And then you start screaming out what should happen. You should all be arrested. Oh, you should be ashamed of yourselves. You're all dumb. It's easy to sit there. But sometimes instead of walking up and looking out a window, look in a mirror and go, how do I see myself in what is happening here? You may have never been on a college campus protesting. But I'm telling you, many of these same issues show up in your life and how you approach things and how you handle things and how you do things. That is your today's focus for Tuesday, April the 30th, 2024.